everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a guy who just cashed out his first round of ad revenue this morning. Thank you, Anchor.
Yay!
I'm joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who will get a third of their cut soon? See, they don't work for free. They work for nearly free. We are watching Autobop, episode 33 of season 2. Speaking of Anchor, I was up late last night messing around with the show dashboard, and I've successfully added One More Prime to Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. So I think the podcast is available pretty much everywhere you want to listen to it. You know what? I also saw a sizable bump in listeners this morning, so it must be working. Welcome new ears. Also, Anchor says we've created 1,327 minutes of content this year. That's more than 80% of other creators in our category. Woo!
Whoa.
I also activated the listener support feature through Anchor, so if you wanted to make a donation to the show, click the link in the show notes. Today's guest is the return of Gil Cologne. Gil is one of the hosts of the No Apologies podcast. Listen to the end of this episode for his top 5 club song list. Written by David Wise and airing on November 13th, 1985, this is Autobop. All right. Well, guess who's back? I think it's our first returning guest. It's Gil Cologne. Gil, thanks for joining us.
Wow.
We had Sean Pryor and Julian Lytle on like bonus episodes, and then they guested with an actual viewing episode. Mm-hmm. But I think you're the first one back because our buddy Raul's back.
Raul's back. And if Raul's back, you got to get your Afro-Latino that lives in New York on.
Well, we appreciate it.
Definitely.
This is a fun episode. This episode is crazy.
Really fun.
Yeah, this is Autobop, written by David Wise, who did write the previous appearance of Raul, which is Make Tracks.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic title, by the way.
Yeah. So the team up, the buddy team up of Raul and Tracks continues, set in 80s New York.
Even without that, you can just tell that they are buddies from some... Where?
Yeah, they've had adventures we've never seen. Definitely.
I wanted a spinoff.
Adventures of Track and Raul.
Raul, yeah, man, just getting in trouble in the five boroughs of New York. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And they don't explain like why Trax is back, and this is an interesting point. So, Gil, like the last three episodes were almost completely off world. They were on an alien planet in Child's Play. Then there was
continuity happened.
Yep. There was totally what was the next missed. Episode?
The Gambler.
The Gambler, which was on like a casino asteroid.
Okay.
And then there was the search for Alpha Trion, which was mostly on Cybertron.
Oh, I love that.
So we have not been on Earth for a while, but now we're back in glorious 80s style. And the episode begins where a very eclectically dressed crowd is lining up at New York's newest sensation, Dance-a-tron.
Oh my God, is that Elvis?
Yeah, it's Elvis, yeah.
So the background costume designers, I think, were working overtime on this.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can tell you, we never dressed like that. They look like extras out of... I don't know, just bad 80s movies of what it's they're like. They dress like every 80s movie's thoughts and ideas of what New York people dress like, but it was never like that, you know. It was just like we pretty much wear the same stuff we do now, you know. It's like New Yorkers wear a lot of black. They look like Valley people, to be honest with you. That was like Valley dress and Valley speak. Although the authenticity of kids just breakdancing on the sidewalk is real. I was a sidewalk breakdancer at one point.
Were
in my life.
You?
Yes, yes. I used to do breakdancing. I have hit the cardboard and hit a windmill or attempted to. I can't do that anymore because my back would have issues. But back in the day when I was younger, yes, I was. I was very much like Raul.
Raul, and we have his buddies. We have Poplock.
Poplock, that's right.
And Rocksteady.
Rocksteady. And that is actually real. Everybody back in the 80s had a street name. My street name was Skills.
With a Z?
No. I was not that.
Not that cool.
No, I wasn't that cool. I didn't want the Z. I was an English kid, so I studied English, and so I was like, no, it's an S.
Skills. Make it grammatically correct.
Skills. Yes, I was Gil, and my nickname was Skills.
Okay, I see it now. Okay.
Yes, and I had good grades, so that's another reason why they called me Skills.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
I was a smart kid in my group.
I was looking up the voice. This is the what they call them, the Bop Crew. Yeah, so Poplock is pretty obviously voiced by Frank Welker. You kind of tell. He kind of sounds like Freddy from Scooby Doo.
Freddy? What, you called him Freddy? That's so weird.
Freddy?
What? Fred?
It's just Fred.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, I'm on personal terms with the man.
Oh, okay.
Well, because he also does the voice of Megatron, but Megatron barely has any lines in this. It's another true. Very slim, yeah. slim. Cast of Transformers.
Same with Optimus. No Optimus in this.
I think it's one of four pre-movie episodes without Optimus.
Let's see here. So far we've covered one, and that was Decepticon Raider and King Arthur's Court.
Yeah, right. Yeah, true.
Was
yeah.
in that one.
I just want to get into that. Yeah, Rocksteady is voiced by T.K. Carter.
Who was an old school actor. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Punky Brewster, mm-hmm. and then the precursor to Saved by the Bell, a Good Morning yes. Miss Bliss. I remember that.
Yes, I remember. I know TK Carter.
Yeah. Let's get into Dancitron, which I thought looks like a Gravitron, like the carnival ride.
Oh, yes.
If only.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild design. So Raul and his crew are breakdancing right outside. It's in front of a coffee shop, but it's a little bit within the limits of Dancitron.
I'm surprised how many people are in line for the coffee shop.
Oh, so many. And then this punk-looking guy.
Appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just comes.
I know, right around the corner.
Like, just from an alleyway.
Wasn't even in the club. He just came from, like, just around the dark corner.
Now that's Rocksteady.
He looks like Bebop. He looks like pre...
Okay, can't hit those straight. I wasn't alive during that time.
Yeah, Bebop, he's got the purple mohawk. Yeah. Oh, maybe Bebop this is was a the pig? Well, because also David Wise wrote like 100 Ninja Turtle episodes. So maybe there's a connection somewhere.
Probably.
But he grabs our cardboard. He grabs our cardboard and interrupts their breakdancing.
What did one of his friends say? I'll take your head for that, or something really like dark. I was just like, wow, that's a outsized reaction.
Yeah. And then one of many cultural references.
Yes, there were two. I noted it too.
Yeah. He says, time to pull a Michael Jackson.
And beat it.
But as they're running away from the punks, they make another reference.
Yes, to Prince.
Yeah. And he's like, man, you know the Autobots, like, I know Prince.
mm-hmm.
But then it turns out that Raul does know the Autobots, specifically Blaster and Trax.
Yeah. Which, why are they here? Why are they here in New York?
Trax in Make Trax says he loves the New York air. He loves the energy.
He loves the vibe. He loves everything. Yeah.
So there... The Bop Crew are in a dumpster rolling down the street, and they
being
hit
chased by 80s anime men.
Yeah, yep.
Green hair and all.
They hit an elevator. They go flying into it.
And then, then the crew comes up, and they're all suddenly have laser blasters.
I know. And then
because they run past Trax, who's like just chilling in an alleyway for some reason.
Yep.
And they run past him, and then suddenly all the gang members pull out laser pistols.
And then Blaster returns fire. Like he's firing at the humans.
Why? Yes. Why would you do that?
Yeah. He's trying to melt their blasters, but I mean, he's either warding them off or trying to melt their blasters, but is that something they do? But
yeah, eventually they melt them, but I think he was trying to take a few cheap shots.
Having laser blasters as like a punk gang, immediate tip off that you're in league with the Decepticons.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I can imagine Trax is just like, Blaster, what are you doing? Why are you trying to kill them? And then Blaster turns around. I'm trying to kill them. Shoots at one of the guns. I melted it. See, I'm not trying to kill them.
But then one of the punks throws a chain around and it wraps around Blaster's arm, and then Blaster just looks over his shoulder
breaks
and says,
it. Yeah.
"You are seriously out of your league, brother."
It's a weird voice effect that's only on this episode.
His voice, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. But also, why would you, if you had a chain, why would you throw the chain there? Why don't
around? He thought he was Ghost Rider for a minute,
restraining his arm.
But it's like those guys that shoot at Superman and the bullets have no effect, and then when the gun's empty, they throw the gun at him like that's gonna do something.
He's literally made of steel.
I always wonder that. I was like, why did you throw the gun? What did you think that was gonna do?
Mm-hmm. And also, Trax goes, "What the deuce?"
Yeah.
Deuce. Yeah, a businessman. Businessman should use language like that.
Yes.
And that's what cracked me up, because when I saw that scene, it reminded me of like those little puzzles that you're like, here's a scene, what doesn't fit in this scene? And that's that suitcase, the suit guy stood out like nobody's business.
He could have been
Waldo.
Yeah, he could have been like a new wave guy, you know.
He could have been a finance, like one of those finance dudes that goes to clubs.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to point this out too. I had to look up who does the voice of our Autobots, Trax and Blaster. And Trax is voiced by Michael McConaughey, who he also does a voice of Cosmos.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Really?
And then
really?
Blaster is voiced by Buster Jones, who also was he did Winston in the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
I can see that. Hey, young blood.
Oh, yep. Yeah, yeah.
Every time I heard that, I cringed.
I have a note about that later on.
Okay.
The Autobots scare the punks off. And
they notice the weirdness of A, that they were kicked out for no good reason. And then B, the suit guy.
There's a office worker.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. not the laser guns that they seem to have procured.
Yeah,
yeah.
That did not like strike him as odd either. But I love that he was like, "No, the suit guy."
That's what all guns seem to be in Transformers, because they couldn't show bullets.
No, yeah.
There was another pop culture reference in Road Warrior Rejects.
Yeah, he calls them Road Warrior Rejects, and then we do. I like how they have to like flash back to the businessman.
Yeah.
Because kids are dumb. And we see Goku for a quick second. Just the same kind of hair.
They all look like Dragon Ball characters.
They did. They did.
Okay. So that tips off Trax. He thinks that new nightclub is the source of this issue. And
rock and roll is the source of evil.
Yeah, right. Pop Lock is like, man, you can't get in. It's like, but you can't get in this club if you're not decked out in the latest fashion. But then he pulls up his shirt.
Yeah. It's like a leotard.
Then he's wearing like this pink shirt with lightning bolts.
It is a leotard. He's a gymnast.
Like, take off your other shirt and you could probably get right in.
But then again, that's another thing. But those kids were like, how old were they? They couldn't even get into a club. They were so underage.
But he looks like a My Little Pony character. He's so cool. My Little Pony's so cool.
He's showing off his cutie mark.
Hilarious.
But then the Autobots, who are well over the age limit, probably a couple million years old, they walk right into Dance-a-tron.
Oh, yeah.
Buster just looks around like, oh, this is interesting.
This is my kind of place, man. Yeah.
The people don't even notice. They're like, hey, where'd you get your clothes? It looks amazing.
I'm really digging it.
Yeah, there's a guy with a Frankie Says Relax shirt on.
Definitely Casey Kasem, but I'd recognize that voice anywhere.
Yep. Three ladies ask Blaster to dance. Mm-hmm. He takes them up on it.
Yep.
One, at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other one tries to get Trax, and he's having nothing of it.
I love that Blaster loves the club life.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you get those threads? Cybertron.
What's the address?
So the ever suspicious Trax, he's looking around at the club. The people who are dancing at the club, and you have like a guy dressed like a butler, and then right next to a lady with curlers in her hair and a robe.
I mean, those are the latest fashions around here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we pan up and we see the Decepticons behind it all. We got Starscream and Soundwave. Their hideout it's just open windows.
Yeah, there's zero undercover. It's like
no one notices the two Decepticons that are kind of DJing the place.
Nope.
What two Decepticons?
Yeah.
That was some good hypnotism, man.
So then we cut back to outside of Dancitron, and then we have a subway train, and the conductor, he goes wild. His eyes bug out, and then he gets this evil grin on his face, and then it becomes like a Grinch scene out of Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, he looks like the Grinch. Like, yes.
He does.
Yes. This train looks like it's going over the speed limit. I think we should have stopped over here. And then people start climbing up the windows.
The shot where the people are hanging off the train. They're hanging out the windows.
That's nuts.
No, you dummies. Stay in.
That's nuts.
You're going to die either way.
Yeah. Kind of. It's some pretty cool animation. The shots where it's kind of like zooms over the camera. And then the conductor, he pulls off a handrail and just starts bashing the controls.
Man, that train's cheap.
He probably had a little too much dancing at the club.
Well, good point, Elsa. Because the way that this is edited, we don't know if he's ever been to the club. Like, we never see him. Like, yeah. He could have just been a disgruntled conductor.
Well, that's
what
why
happened?
That's why he has the... And that's why I was tipping us off about the random people thing.
But there's no music or anything. I don't know.
Also, the sheer strength of him like ripping a like iron bar off the conductor, that is ripping an iron bar off the wall to like hit the console.
We grind into commercial one, and we come back, and the people are still hanging off, and Trax and Blaster are just walking down the street, and then it zooms by rather comically, almost like the monorail episode from The Simpsons. And they notice that this is going at least 100 miles an hour faster than it should. Trax and Blaster go to save them.
Amazing car animation.
Yeah.
The animation's very cool.
Especially with his wings.
Yeah, the close-up shot where he kind of fires a grappling hook. He looks very well drawn, very stylized, cool shading.
Looks like Batman.
It almost looks like the Batmobile, yeah.
Also, I gotta say how smoothly Trax fits on the train tracks, pushes up glasses. I'm so smart.
Well, they call him Trax for a reason. He can fit onto anything and just grows to the sides of it.
Yeah.
Now, Gil, when you were on for Make Trax, the one thing we had fun pointing out was all the crazy billboards and signs. Like, every building was labeled in New York.
Yes, I remember
that. There's not as much of that in this episode, except they do pass one billboard for red wine.
It says red wine.
No brand or nothing. Just
wine about it.
Get your red wine.
They're touting the Simply Red album at that time.
Yeah.
they couldn't have said Daddy's Special Juice.
Pango Bye-Bye Juice.
That's the rubbing alcohol. This kind's for drinking.
So Blaster and Trax, they both jump onto the train. Blaster's hanging onto the side. And yeah, he kicks he's like, the engine. It's just the side of the train. With a swift kick, he slows it down.
I know, that was weird.
And Trax brings it to a halt.
I mean, I expected Trax to worry about his finish more than anything, so I guess he didn't have any trouble grinding the train to a stop from the back.
No, later on in the episode, I'll cause into question how brittle the Autobots are.
Yeah.
So they can survive that, but it's just their feet. But then they get shaken apart by music.
Exactly. Oh,
but also,
that's fun.
When Trax and Blaster open up the door, there's no one in it except the trio,
the
I guess.
Crew.
And what happened to the other people?
I was
going to
say
Did
that.
Did they jump out?
I think everyone jumped off.
Oh, no.
They landed in the random mattress building, didn't you see?
Let's hope
Spider-Man was there to kind of shoot some web nets. So they check out the front of the car. And they just go, sabotage.
Sabotagey.
Wait, hold on. If the Decepticons want to remain very low in their operations, why do they sabotage a train?
Exactly. That was another point of mine. I was just like, oh, we can't do it here. There's too much. But, you know, there's too much people looking. But you know what? Let's have a massive train.
That's what I'm saying. It was an unrelated conductor rage incident.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to, I don't know. Like, it's not quite the main driver of the story. It's not quite the MacGuffin. But Trax and crew roll up on this construction site where it's all the people that they saw at the at Dancentron. So we have like the butler, the businessman, the lady with the curlers, and they're building a building.
There's nothing low as low profile as a lady in hair curlers helping in construction at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
And red nails pouring down.
Oh, yeah.
Upon.
And then it just cuts to a guy with a rivet gun just shooting randomly.
Because they're glowing red.
Yeah.
Terminal velocity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're super hot. But then they cut away real quick. And there's just a quick scene where Pop Lock and Rocksteady get invites to Dancitron.
Why?
Just this random guy in a white suit. He's like, hey, it's an all night party.
Come on in.
You do this. You do this. And you hand out the invites.
I know you're all of 14, 15, but come on in.
Have some drinks.
Have some drinks.
When you have the pain go bye-bye juice, you won't have to whine about working.
So we go back to the rivet gun, and Trax and Raoul run away from it. And Raoul, he attempts to make a stand. He kind of rolls up one sleeve, and Trax is like, no. And did you notice that Trax picks him up, puts him in his chest in robot mode, and then he transforms into the vehicle?
Yeah. I think the Masterpiece can do that.
Yeah.
Not entirely, but...
Oh my gosh, it's terrifying. It's like...
Yeah, am I going to be grinded or to death? Or
Poplock and Rocksteady, they run into the club, they throw their tickets to the bouncer, and now they're inside.
They're dancing, having a good time, but then
Rocksteady says, you're looking at a dancing detective. And then he takes like a very anime looking girl for a dance.
Yep. Stock character.
Usually in big city scenes, the cities always tend to look deserted when they're in New York or something, because you just can't draw everybody. But to give them credit, this is a Toei episode, and they have so many background one-off characters.
But in a dance club, oh no, it's completely different. Cities don't get that same treatment, but a dance club. You see people in bathing suits and fishnet leggings all the time.
Everyone has a unique look.
That was maybe Studio 54 back in the day.
Yeah. we cut back to... So this is Blaster in front of Teletran 1.
Not Teletran 1.
Well, it's...
Porta is Teletran 1.
Yeah.
Teletran 0.5.
Now, did we see this in Make Tracks where Sparkplug's garage had like a...
Yes.
An auxiliary Teletran 1? I thought so.
Yeah.
Just a mobile app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teletran a 2.
Teletran Lite.
And Blaster is talking with Teletran 1, who is commanding Sky Spy. Now, Sky Spy was from the very first episode. That's the little satellite guy that got launched out and that scanned all the vehicle modes. So he was responsible for giving all the Autobots their vehicle modes.
And Decepticons. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot about them.
Also,
good callback.
Also, Casey Kasem. So he got two checks for two characters.
He got two checks that day. I heard that voice again.
Yep. it's a little bit of continuity, which they've been kind of sneaking in the most recent episodes.
Which I like.
Keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars.
Yep.
It's a famous Casey Kasem quote. He was a DJ back in the day.
I think I covered him for one of our intros a long time ago, maybe season one.
What if there was a Sky Spy?
Oh, I see.
Like a drone.
Sky
thing.
Spy had a robot mode?
Yeah.
That's interesting. This is a really cool shot where Trax kind of skids to a stop, like right in front of the camera. The bouncer confronts Trax, and Trax says, you can back off, creep. And he throws him.
Oh, yeah, he flung him.
him like, and his white pants.
I was like, whoa. It's like, you know, we're not invulnerable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they tend to drop humans from 10, 15 feet. So Poplock and Bebop. Nope.
What are broken bones?
Poplock and Rocksteady.
There you go.
Show Trax into the room, and he sees Starscream, and Starscream just takes a shot immediately. Just boom.
Oh no.
Right off the hip.
Trax falls down, does a backward roll.
Takes out a gun.
Yeah. And then there's a shot of Starscream in front of two turntables. I love that shot. DJ Starscream.
DJ Starscream.
That's my job.
So the Decepticons turn on this amazing looking sound system.
Told you it was robot sized, not human. That could have tipped him off.
Yeah, it's huge. And it activates all the dancers and they become sonic zombies.
Yes. Shout out to the folks who constructed that club, because a 4 to 5 ton vehicle was crawling all up around it trying to get away, and nothing broke, nothing shook. That was some sound design.
Good one.
There you go.
Well, if they're having humans build this building for whatever reason, like, who built Dancitron?
Yeah.
Maybe the Constructicons, who would be the obvious choice to build anything.
Maybe they hypnotize the actual owners.
Maybe.
This is ours.
So
sign this lease to Starscream.
That wasn't a lease. That was the deed.
I want half off the lease.
I want the building.
It's weird because, like, we're maybe 3/4 through season 2, and kind of in the middle there, we saw the Constructicons a lot. Constructicons and Dinobots. Like, I think those are the popular toys. Like, we need to sell this stuff. This is a full set, our first combiner set. Like, we need to get the kids to beg their parents to buy Devastator. But yeah, lately, all of these have been real kind of slim. They're not the toy commercials that they maybe were in the beginning, which is cool because they seem to, especially with this one, is a lot more character based. Speaking of character, we see the character Trax. He gets buried under the sound system. The speakers fall. The wires fray. And we go to commercial 2.
Now, Starscream's just watching anime.
Not
anime, MTV.
And he pulls up Megatron. Megatron makes his first appearance. And he seems really happy. He doesn't even talk when they tell him that Trax is his prisoner. He just has a smirk. It's like, yeah.
So there'll be some extra energon in your check next week, Starscream.
Yeah.
New batteries for you, Soundwave.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Big double D's. Wait. Because back in the day, the big boom boxes, you had to have like those big double D batteries.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And like 15 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they made a joke about that in Rescue Bots Academy, newer show.
And Yankee Stadium, they used to throw D batteries at outfielders.
Oh,
ow.
Yes.
Ow.
My father might have been one.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Well, back at Dancitron, Raul and Blaster show up, and Blaster makes Raul stay outside. He said, yo, that's my friend in there. And then Blaster turns around and said, listen, young blood. Something in that club's hypnotizing people. And Raul returns with that, says, fooey on this jive, man.
That's my main mechanical brother or something
that. My main machine's in trouble.
Yeah, my main machine. That's right.
When I watch this the second time, they flash back to Blaster saying the doing the listen young blood line, and I count it. It's 30 seconds. 30 seconds in between times where he says it and then they flash back to him saying it again.
God, he did say it a few times, and it just like it just cracks me up. That he sounds like two or three of my uncles. Because that's the young blood is what they always use young blood when they want to teach you a lesson. Listen, young blood, don't run in the street like that. That's the only time you would get young blood is when you did something or you were about to do something wrong is when you get to be called young blood.
It's appropriate for Blaster saying that when he's telling Raul to stay outside. Something's up. Don't go into Dancitron.
And look what he did. He's at the bar. You know,
he is one of the official black Transformers, Blaster. Yeah. So of the, you know, it's him, Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
some other guys. I don't know. It's a whole thing. I could go into a whole thesis on it.
Yeah, Buster Jones and Scatman Crothers is Jazz.
Scatman Crothers, that's right. You can't be Scatman Crothers.
But Raul goes in and he kind of like puts some napkins in his ears. Kind of plug him up.
Smart.
Pass some more anime people.
Oh, that lady was just wearing a swimsuit.
With purple hair.
Yep.
And a leg band. Yeah.
You know, normal club fare.
And then he finds Trax chained up to the sound system, looking like Wolverine on the cover of Uncanny X-Men.
I was about to say, he looked like Wolverine on the cover of X-Men. Like, I was expecting the Reavers to come out, you know?
You and I think alike with that, yeah.
Yes, I was like, oh my God, that's the Wolverine cover. But yeah, no, but he's being held there, and of course, the sound system... He's being tortured by nearly taken apart by this huge sound system.
Yep. Every vibration is tearing me apart.
Yeah. Which they had to put back together just to chain him to it. Because it fell on him before the commercial.
Yes, you're right. I didn't even realize that. Yes.
When I saw that, I just recently learned of this a little bit ago. Reminded me of bamboo torture. It's when you put someone above bamboo, and since sometimes you can even hear it growing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where are you reading about this?
Nah, it was just like a random fact thing.
Read? No, no. Watch.
I gotta check your history of bamboo torture.
It comes up. It comes up in YouTube Shorts. It's random.
Okay. Okay. All right. So then Blaster makes his way into the headquarters, and Starscream takes another shot, but Blaster tackles him down the stairs as Raul gets dragged off the sound system by the sonic zombies, and then his friends take the napkins out of his ears, and he starts to succumb to the sonic hypnotism, but then he does a backflip.
Holy!
He flips out of it, and then
yeah, I can do that.
Does the grossest thing ever. He splashes mop water in his face.
Oof. That would wake me up.
I know.
I mean, anybody up.
He's seen movie tropes, so like the water always cures hypnotism.
But there's a mop right next to it. That's not fresh water.
No, and
there's
need multiple for coffee
multiple
in the
drinks
morning.
On the tables.
Oh, yeah, just like sweat on the dance floor, whatever. Yeah,
it's a dance floor.
Yeah.
Oh, the bucket's just filled.
No, and then he throws the bucket on his friends, and that snaps them out of it.
Water cures hypnotism.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why the club was always closed on rainy days.
Yeah.
When they got in, they stayed in. So.
Yeah, but when they walk out, what? I was gonna build a lobby. Why did I have that thought in my head?
Why'd I do that? Why? Oh, why am man. I wearing this?
Why am I in the rain in my house coat?
It's Tuesday. I should be at work.
Yeah.
The kids.
The daddy.
It's like your mom came home at 3 a.m. with her and still in her rollers. And she told me I was taken over by 6 feet tall robots.
Yeah, sure, honey.
She came over
like,
the tool
belt. All right, honey, you need to put down that drink.
Oh, I'm still holding it?
Raul climbs up the very well laid out sprinkler system. Looks like a jungle gym. Yeah. He climbs up, and then he activates it, and it unhypnotizes the rest of the dance crowd. And then they go to free Trax, who's still chained to the sound system. He picks his lock with a giant screwdriver on his Swiss Army knife.
A skill that's very suspicious.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Raul knows how to pick locks.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, no. Yeah. Listen, sometimes I needed to get in somewhere that I didn't have the absence of a key to get into.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed at what you'd learn in New York.
Well, I have the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, that's half the battle.
Yep.
And knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
That was enough to scare off Starscream. He just jumps out the window, and then Trax goes in hot pursuit. But before he could easily fly out that hole, but instead he takes a shot at the wall, makes a bigger hole, and then takes off with all of the BOP crew inside.
All right, then that works.
And then we get to the standoff.
Oh, this was amazing.
The sound battle.
This took me back to the Do the Right Thing, when Radio Raheem ran up against another crew that had boom boxes, and they tried to figure out who had the loudest one.
Wow.
Kids, you haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched that. You'll watch that a long time from now, but when you do, you'll recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to hear.
I know.
Mostly Public Enemy.
It would have been great if they had different songs.
But obviously
copyright. You can't do anything like that.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the music. I guess we're not talking about the music in this episode because it's the same music they play
Present the entire episode.
It's the same song. They just have one song in the come the whole time.
I'm not sure if it's Jazz's theme.
Okay, so at the beginning of the episode, I believe the song that the BOP crew are dancing to is Cold Slither, and that's the song that we hear all the time. Yes, it's the one that they use in the G.I. Joe episode. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it, it's yeah, it kind of jazz's theme. I think it's pretty much like a copyright free piece of music, but it's very long and there's a lot of different parts. Like usually when jazz plays it, it's kind of like this guitar solo thing, but then mostly in the club here, it's kind of that jazzy, like kind of the horn section. When Blaster and Soundwave fight, they don't use music. They just raise a leg and shoot some concentric circles, and which make him go flying. It looks like almost out of Scott Pilgrim.
Yes. I
mean, his name is Soundwave. So.
His name is Blaster.
Yeah, you're right. But it's enough to send him flying. Speaking of flying, we cut back to Trax, who has the power to seed clouds.
Not out of the realm of possibility, because there is a way to make clouds rain.
Oh, yeah. So, but usually he has like this black flame power, you know, like he kind of shoots them and it's this black flame where they kind of like they can't see. But this is the first time where he creates a thunderstorm around the building.
Couldn't have done that inside the building. I mean, he needs to be in car mode, I guess. At a high altitude.
Yeah. He creates a thunderstorm above the building and the workers. And they're all they're snapped out of it. The lady with
hard
the
hard hats.
The lady, yeah, but the lady with the curlers, she just drops a wrench. It falls out of her hand. And they all run to freedom. According to the notes on this episode, in the first draft of the script, the building was supposed to be like a Decepticon headquarters.
Okay.
But that is not conveyed in this episode. So they're just building. Maybe they were trying to get into real estate. I don't know.
You know, I actually like this idea of a mystery project from the Decepticons. Who knows what they're going to do? Are they going to use it to steal the sun? Or are they going to use it to kidnap elephants?
No, I appreciate this because, yeah, like that. No answer is the best answer because it's just so weird.
We're going to kidnap the elephants and drain their trunks of energon.
I mean, earlier in the series, they stole the Empire State Building. Like they dug a tunnel underneath of it, so it fell.
The Mole Man
underneath, yeah. And then they rose it back up, covered in Cybertronian architecture. So they've been in New York a few times. And we cut back to Blaster and Soundwave, where Soundwave gives the Soundwave laugh, which is us. I think this is one of two or three times that he does that in the series.
Hilarious.
But I always need to make note of it.
This is why you wish you had sound chips in some of these action figures. Where he could do a hee hee haw if you press a button.
Yeah, Blaster gets the upper hand by sticking his hands into some of the gold speakers, and sends Soundwave into the wall, which also brings down the roof.
Someone made a 3D print file for those accessories that they can use on the Kingdom version.
Oh, that go on Blaster's hands?
Yeah,
that's cool. Yep, Soundwave flies off, and another cool example of really good animation here, where Trax and Starscream are kind of having a dogfight, and where they like fly into the building. It looks great. It kind of supports them using a lot of Star Wars sound effects here. But when they're flying through it, it kind of looks like the end of Return of the Jedi when they're flying into the Death Star.
Yeah,
with how like the beams are.
Yeah.
This looks really good.
Starscream was Ramjet for a second.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
Oh,
completely really? White with dark red wings.
Oh. Well, he clips one of his wings on the building.
He transforms and flies off,
yeah. So we took care of Dancitron. The Decepticons have fled. The humans are freed. And then Blaster uses his golden amplifiers to destroy the building.
These are still stuck to my hands.
Oh, and then Trax takes one shot while Blaster's making it crumble down. Trax is like, "Well, I'll shoot it." The Autobots and the Bop crew meet up at Sparkplug's auxiliary New York garage, where
he's
we saw Raul helping out Sparkplug rebuild all the drone cars and give them back to their owners at the end of Make Trax. Raul and the Bop crew make a deal with the Autobots that Blaster has to be their boombox so that they can break dance and earn tips so they can buy a new boombox of their own. And I don't know why Blaster's hating this. Like, he's the cool guy.
And isn't that his major function? You know?
Not sure why he has a problem with it, but Trax is liking it. He's snapping his fingers off the beat.
when people don't want me to play music, I do it anyway, but people when people want me to, oh no, I tense up immediately.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because when Blaster starts playing stuff, Optimus tells him to shut up, and maybe, yeah, now he's forced to do it. But
you also figure that the Transformers might have, like, you know, a way to, like, I don't know, not have to, like, get these kids to, like, break dance for hours to, like, make up money. They could probably find a way to get them some money. I mean, they have a garage. They have, like, resources, obviously.
They seem to be cleaning up, though. Their tip jar is overflowing.
You know what? I think Blaster doesn't like it because he's not annoying anyone.
Yeah.
He only likes it when Optimus is screaming at him, like, shut
up. Or robot plants. Okay.
Yeah.
Several heist options. One, sell Blaster as a regular boombox. Then keep the money and Blaster walks away. Two, use Mirage to break into a bank. Three, use Hound to impersonate someone to break into a bank.
They would never.
This is not noble.
Yeah, would never do that.
But they need money to buy a boombox for these kids. And they want to dance. It's their
the
soul.
Bop crew earns their own money, honestly.
But it's their passion.
And this is how the episode ends. It fades out with the Bop crew on a gigantic piece of cardboard.
Yes.
Trax is snapping his fingers, and I'm looking at the crowd. There's like three children cheering. There's like a guy looking like out of the 1800s. There's
a woman looking out of the 1800s.
Yeah, there's like a woman with like a Victorian dress. There's a guy with a white suit and a cane and a big hat.
Hilarious.
What are these children doing these days?
Yep. There's Charlie Brown with black hair at the bottom. Looks like Barry B. Benson.
Barry B. Benson, yeah, humanized.
So again, shout out to Toei for their wonderful background character design on this episode. And yeah, that's it. That is the end of Autobop. So, Gil, you know the drill. You get to review it 1 out of 10. What did you think of Autobop?
I give it an 8 out of 10. I wish there was a commercial soundtrack that could have gone with this, especially for the beatbox battle. Would have been nice to get like 80s hip hop or like something like as they're fighting each other, kind of like when Strange fought Dark Strange and they were hitting each other with notes and stuff.
Yes,
that's what I was gonna say.
It would have been cool if it had like different songs and stuff that they were battling for, but otherwise it was all right. I mean, I wish there was more clarity with them building a human sized building for the Decepticons and what that was for, but other than that, I thought it was great. I wish there were more Raul episodes. I guess this is the official last of the Rauls. Is that
it
right?
It is.
Oh man, who knows? I wonder if it was ever picked up in a comic book or anything. That would have been interesting.
I don't think so, because you know, thank God for TF Wiki. That's like the greatest resource, and I all my references come from that. And they usually say they continue it on if like he's in the Japanese series or you know, another show down the line, and a lot of times comics pick up on stuff, but I don't think so. I think they left him. It may be like an Easter egg somewhere, but yeah, no, I'm looking at it. He has a very shallow TF Wiki entry.
Man,
that's it.
One day someone's gonna pick it up, like, whatever happened to Raul?
Well, you know, IDW's losing the license, so whoever picks it up next, I'll pitch him the Further Adventures of Trax and Raul.
Yeah, man. There's a Pixar movie there, I swear.
Actually.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
I'll put that idea in my pocket.
You've got a friend in me.
Yep.
Yeah. Use that for the millionth time. I dare you.
Emmett, what did you think of Autobop?
9 out of 10. It was a fun episode. Well, the visuals were great, but it was fun.
It was.
All the way through, I was like, ooh, I like this. 9 out of 10.
Yep. Elsa?
7 out of 10. Mm. I would have given it higher if I understood some of the references.
Mm. Oh.
I was not materialized at that time. So materialized.
So the references were Michael Jackson, Prince. The Road Warrior, and they do mention GQ magazine.
Yes, which is another thing. I was like, wow, look at that. Trax reads to GQ magazine.
Of course he does.
As matter cannot be created nor destroyed, you existed, just not with your conscience.
Okay.
Ooh.
I will go with 9. Maybe 9.5. This was such a fun episode. It was great. As I'm watching this, I'm thinking of like whenever a current show wants to do like an 80s tribute, you know, they hit all the same markers that we always know. But watching this, it's like they were there. Like they were all there. Like the street punks and the music and the breakdancing. And it's like that's how it was portrayed in cartoons. I think what TV shows reference now were already being referenced in cartoons as they were being made in the 80s. Like this was 1985.
Crazy.
But overall, no complaints. This is super fun episode. Oh, did you have the songs?
Yes, yep. I do. Yes, I do. And this is probably a guide to 80s and 90s, particularly dance club songs.
So in the dance clubs, they only played one song. Yes. So if this were an actual 80s New York nightclub, what songs would we be hearing?
Oh, man. Well, let me put on my DJ voice. Number 5, Born Slippy by Underworld, a club classic that you've probably heard in a movie called... what is it called with the it was the one in the, where they were in the Britain and they were all high on drugs. I forget what it was called, but anyway,
Trainspotting.
Yes, it was in Trainspotting.
Okay.
Rhythm is a Dancer by a band called Snap, another big club hit in the day. Number 3, Soul to Soul playing Back to Life, another club banger, as they say. And as we get up there, Crystal Waters with Gypsy Woman. Yes, a song about a homeless woman, but it was a huge hit in the club. And finally, the number one song, number one in your heart, D-Light's Groove is in the Heart. Because if you weren't in a club and you did not hear Groove is in the Heart, you were not in the right club. And those were the 5 club bangers that you would have listened to if you were in the club at this time. And I'm signing off, Gil Cologne.
All right, thank you there, and we're moving on to the traffic.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we got everything covered.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Thanks for coming on again, Gil. Yes. I'm sad there's no more Raul, but hey, you know,
anytime, let me know.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure we'll find a way to get you back for season 3.
There you go.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening again, and we'll see you next week on an all-new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adios.